things from Philippians. It says in the thing that we read from Galatians, that was a mistake, sorry, Jackie, but it's actually Philippians, and we're going to read from chapter 1, Philippians, verse 12 to verse 26. Last week, we came back from Mozambique, and last week we were talking about how come there are 10,000 churches that have been planted in the last 10 years in that nation. How come in that region of capital Gado, of 1.6 million people, there are a million people that have come to faith, and they have almost all of them come to faith in the last 8 years. What is it that they are doing there that we need to think about and learn and do here? And so I said that I would share a couple of things. Last week I talked about the fact that there's a desperation, a hunger for God that actually causes them just to drive and press in for God to move. And that's been a huge thing. We see that every time everyone does it. It's an incredible thing. They just love God, they're going for it, they're desperate for God, they're hungry for God. And the reality is, God always feeds the spiritually hungry. He always feeds the hungry. He always responds to our desire, our desperation for him to move. But today, I want to kind of just pick up another theme. So let's read together Philippians chapter 1 and read from verse 12 through 26. Paul's chains advance the gospel, it says here. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what I have been has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm chained. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, God's provision, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And so convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with you, with all of you, for your progress and for the joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One of the hallmarks of what's happening in Mozambique, and one of the things that I think is absolutely fundamental if you're going to see that happening here, is a willingness to do whatever it takes to see the gospel advance. And again, there are so many stories to tell from when we were there. There was a very current story when we were there of the Bible students, the Bible school students. There were Mozambican pastors, who it's about 180 of them that were there. They come to Pemba from all over that province. They come for 3 months out of every year for 5 years, once a year for 5 years. And the reality for many of them is that they come from areas and from families that are actually just literally being converted from Islam to Christianity. They themselves have been absolutely convinced that this is the thing that they are called to do, that they are called to serve Jesus Christ. And for them, they are willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. They are willing to leave their families and their farms, basically. They're all subsistence farms. And so they leave their house, their home, and their family and the goats come, and the goats enter, and the goats enter for 3 months, and there are so many of them who again and again come and tell the story, not the first time, but the second time when they come back, they tell the story. When I went back from Bible school last year, my family, my wife, my children had left. They had abandoned me. They had literally gone off, and often many of them have found that the families have actually gone off and have remarried. Because what they've said is that because the families are Muslim, the Muslim families have said that this person has become apostate, they're no longer true to the faith, and therefore their marriage bonds can be dissolved. And so what happens is that they lose their families. They lose their families, they lose their farm, they lose their livelihood, they lose the place that they own. And I suppose if that was a story that was only told once, you would think, wow, you know what the faith. But actually I don't know what the proportion is now in terms of each year, so that's 30-40 students in each year. But it's not just one or two, it's regularly a handful at least, if not more than that, every year come back and say exactly the same thing. We've found that actually we've had to give up. We've lost our family, we've lost our husband, we've lost our wife, we've lost our children for the sake of the gospel. Months to go and help to feed these children. There's a queue. people who are who just simply say, for me to live is Christ. The dying is here. For me to live is Christ. You know, there's no question about it. What is it that actually fuels the fire to produce 10,000 churches being planted in less than 9 years? It is the ability to be able to say yes to whatever Jesus says to you before you know the question. It is that place in our heart where that Paul talks about here that says, no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances, no matter what God leads me into, I will say yes. Jesus, you have my yes. You have my absolute and complete buy-in. I am yours. And I give myself entirely to you. And I give myself entirely for you. And I will not, I won't even kind of question that, you know, whatever it is you ask me to do. So just as that queue of folks, you know, that kind of that formed. Heidi asked the question, we need somebody to go to feed the children. Who will go? You know, that queue formed. Because those people had resolved in their heart before God that no matter what he said, no matter what he asked of them, no matter what the cost to me, that they had set in their heart a place, a position, an attitude towards God that said, I will say yes to whatever you say. I am committed to being radically obedient to the will of God and not waiting for anything else, but just simply willing to say yes. And I think that that for me is the bit that you know, that we see time and time again. Not only that, not only a radical yes is a kind of place where we say it, but here's the thing, there's no question at all, these guys are all in. They are all in. They are nothing that they reserve that is held back. So they say yes. And if that means time, if that means money, if that means effort, if that means putting ourselves in danger, if that means whatever it is, they are all in. I listened to someone yesterday, and they were talking about counselling actually, and they were sort of saying that sometimes, in particular in counselling, when you have to deal with things like forgiveness, sometimes when you talk to the person as they're walking through their issues and they're trying to get to that place where they sort of say, "I will actually kind of, I will forgive," Actually, the question that the counselor sometimes asks is not, are you willing to forgive? Because in one sense, that's too far. But actually, the question that they ask is, are you willing to be made willing? I wonder whether or not, actually, today, the question for us is not, are you all in? It's, have you given your yes to Jesus? Maybe the answer to that is, and I know for some of us that's true. But for some of us, actually, what God is asking is, are you willing to be made willing that would be where your heart and attitude would be? Are you willing to be made willing that we would be people who would be set up in such a way that we simply give our yes, even though we don't know, even before we know the question? There's a radical, they talk about being radical, laid down lovers of Jesus. And I think, if I was honest, I don't think I can say that I'm all the way there. You know, I honestly don't think I can say that myself. But what I can say to you is, I'm willing to be made one. That's who I want to be. That's who I aspire to be. That's who I want to be. That's the kind of church. sort of, it is easy to become offended. It's easy to kind of, well, that's all very well for them. They don't live in our circumstances. But Lord, you are working on our lives and in our hearts in such a way as to say, but these things are not about circumstances. They're about our hearts and our minds and our attitude towards life. They're about they're saying something about what we believe about ourselves and about you and about our lives. They're offending us because they're calling us, they're challenging us to a more radical obedience to Christ. And Lord, we, in as much as we can say this, and Lord, we know that we do not match up to that, but we are willing, or perhaps we're just ready to be made willing to be that kind of laid down lover. Because Lord, just as we see transformation sweeping across their nation as a result of these laid down lovers, so we long for our community here in Whitehall, here in Glasgow, our nation in Scotland, and our this next kingdom, and all across Europe, how we long for you to move in power. We want to be laid down lovers, radically obedient, immediately obedient to the call of God in our life. And where we struggle with that, Lord, help us to know how to bring that to you. Help us to know how Lord, we can have you help us by making us willing. Take us, we pray.